Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Logo launched in September with Forbidden, a portrait of one person's quest to remain in this nation under DACA. Producer Heather Matthews and producer director Tiffany Reinhard join me next. Life as a sign language interpreter in the big city can lead you down plenty of comedic corridors. That's what happens in Don't Shoot the Messenger, available on smart TV sets and devices through YouTube. We'll walk this walk later this hour with executive producer Melanie Chitou and creator, executive producer, and star Craig Fogel. Also ahead, La La Land's Maker Editor Television, True Detective Round 3, our latest classic trivia question winner, and relief efforts for Hurricane Harvey displaced. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A great Friday afternoon start September to you and all. We thank you for tuning us in, making us part of your extended Labor Day holiday weekend. Welcome to the program All About Television, first episode of the month. Some wonderful people coming your way over the next hour and change, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Just pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can connect others to the program right away by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. As a matter of fact, in our second half hour, we're going to be joined by people using Facebook Live for our second pair of guests. 78 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and we will have the people behind the Logo special happening tonight, Forbidden, after these news notes. They will join us live from Los Angeles. The Oscar-winning WonderCon behind La La Land, Damien Chazelle, will enter the scripted TV arena next year, or in 2019, via Netflix. Chazelle's TV initiation will be The Eddie, a musical drama taking place in and around a Paris nightclub. Chazelle will executive produce the series on location in Paris and direct two of its 8 episodes. Former 16 Under producer Alan Powell will join Chazelle as executive producer. And 6-time Grammy Award-winning songwriter Glenn Ballard will present and compose original tunes. After much consideration, HBO will go ahead with a third season of True Detective. Series creator Nick Pizzolatto will write the entire season and co-direct with Jeremy Salner. The Ozarks will be the setting for this set of episodes, with Oscar-winning Moonlight co-star Mahershala Ali as a detective in pursuit of justice. HBO expects to premiere season 3 of True Detective late 2018 or early 2019. Amazon is giving the go sign to a reboot of Starsky & Hutch, the classic 1970s ABC tale of police mates. Guardian of the Galaxy director James Gunn will oversee the venture. You may remember, of course, the original version, which ran 4 seasons on ABC, starred David Saul and Paul Michael Glaser. Is Google's next unit beginning or getting ready to deliver a smart TV device? We'll know the answer September 20th when Nest holds a press conference in San Francisco. Invites that event suggest that, according to some reporters, it might just be a television deal due to mention and picture of a comfy living room couch. And two notable passings to finish this news note segment on. Shelley Berman, the iconic sit-down stand-up comedian and later Curb Your Enthusiasm co-star, who died this morning at age 42. And Richard Anderson, a favorite go-to guest star in many TV series in the 60s and 70s, who had lasting popularity as Oscar Goldman, boss of both the $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman in the early 1970s. Anderson passed away yesterday at age 91. And that's news notes for today. At any moment between now and the end of this Labor Day weekend Monday night, the Trump administration is expected to make a call on whether they will extend, suspend, or eliminate the DACA rule. That's the way in which so-called Dreamers, sons and daughters of immigrants, undocumented or illegal immigration, take your pick of the term, are able to work in this country and to provide a fruitful life for themselves and their families. Again, in the last hour, the Trump administration announced during a special photo or video opportunity with people from the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross, others involved in the Hurricane Harvey ongoing relief efforts, that the call will be made between now and the end of Labor Day weekend. But in the meantime, Logo, the network from Viacom that caters to the gay, lesbian, transgender community, will be presenting a special on the subject called Forbidden, Undocumented and Queer in Rural America. It premieres tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And it deals with one particular case, the case of Moises Serrano. He's an undocumented immigrant who was born in Mexico, raised in North Carolina, and he is one of those dreamers fighting for the American dream and for DACA to continue. Joining us live on the same day Internet Radio exclusive are the producer and producer directly of this special coming tonight on Logo, Heather Matthews and Tiffany Reinhardt. Heather and Tiffany, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here talking to you.
Same here. And they are both joining us, by the way, live from Los Angeles. Heather, we'll start with you. How did this special happen?
Heather?
Yeah?
I thought that was directed at you.
Yeah, yes, it is. Heather, how did this special happen?
It came about, we had been working on the film for about, doing it on the festival circuit for about 8 months. And I think the film became relevant after Trump was elected. And we had originally shown Logo a copy of the film prior to Outfest in July 2016. And after it had done well on the festival circuit and since Trump had been elected, we felt it became more relevant. And Logo came around to us with an offer, and we were just excited to get it out there to get more attention to the cause.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany, of all the people that you could portray in this special, how did Moises get to be that subject?
Well, I didn't set out to make a documentary about this subject. I met him very serendipitously in the fall of 2012. I was helping out a friend who was filming a project at Wake Forest University, and she also was a cinematographer for the film, Kathy Barnhill, and we met him together, and we just had a lot of chemistry, and there was so much about the undocumented community and about these issues that I wanted to know more about. Like, I felt like a pretty well-read for so many aspects of living in this country without citizenship that I wasn't aware of, and I figured there were more people who also didn't know and would care and be empathetic if these issues were more humanized. So that's how the whole process started. It was because I met Moises, and it was specifically because of the chemistry we had.
Heather, for people who are on the outside looking in about this topic of dreamers and DACA, explain to people what is the definition of both. What is the definition of a dreamer, and what's the definition of DACA? What does DACA do that allows these dreamers to continue their existence here in the United States?
Well, DACA is really just a Band-Aid. What DACA does is it allows children who were brought to this country by their parents at a young age to get a work permit for 2 years and a Social Security number for 2 years and a driver's license, just for 2 years. Now, it was started in 2013 by President Obama, and they can renew that for the 2 years since it was started. It is due to expire on September 5th unless President Trump renews it. It's very frightening right now because since Trump pardoned Arpaio, who was so fervently anti-immigrant, it seems as if Trump will not renew DACA. The difference between DACA and being a dreamer are the same kids that can receive DACA are these dreamers, and they're but the DREAM Act, which is what became how the dreamer population was first identified. The DREAM Act was a bill in the Senate that allowed these same kids, these kids who were brought here, you know, by their parents, who feel as American as you or I do, who believe this country is their own country and want to fight for this country and want to start businesses in this country and want to raise families in this country, It allows them a path to citizenship. If they go to college or serve in the Army for a couple of years and they are qualified, you know, they don't have a criminal history, then they can, it's a path towards a green card, it's a path towards citizenship. And DACA is just a, it's just a temporary fix for an immigration issue that needs to really be addressed. And it's a very tense moment right now. It's a very frightening moment right now with this decision that's happening on September 5th with President Trump, or it could come before, as we just learned. It could come any time over this weekend, actually. So we're really hoping to raise awareness of it over this weekend and raise some noise, start some noise about it. Scary time.
We're speaking with the producer and producer director, respectively, Heather Matthews and Tiffany Reinhardt, behind a special coming tonight at 8 o'clock on Logo. It's called Forbidden, Undocumented, Queer, and Rural America. And they both joined us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appleband with you live from New York. Thank you for joining us to kick off your Labor Day holiday weekend. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. We're not with you Monday because of the Labor Day holiday weekend, but we are with you 24 hours later than Monday at this very same hour on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, we have a very unusual hour for you. We're going to be exploring the world of daytime court shows with a program that is reaching its fifth season this coming month and a new show to the scene. We're talking about Lauren Lake's Paternity Court and the new series Couples Court, both syndicated television stations through MGM Orion TV. We'll have the creator of the series, both series, David Armour, and then an internet radio exclusive, we'll have the judges behind both shows. Lauren Lake in the first half hour, and from Couples Court, the couple, real life, as well as in judging, of Dana and Keith Cutler. They will all be with us live, and they'll take your phone calls. That's this coming Tuesday, September 5th, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And a week from Monday, on September 11th, among our guests, we'll have the chief executive of a company called Titan that may have a brand new dimension in the world of smart TV sets and devices to showcase. It's called Titan Platform, and we'll have Adrian Sexton, the chief executive of the company, with us live and exclusive right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tiffany with Moises, what is his life like? And how does him being gay or transgender, whatever his situation is, his lifestyle is, how does that play or how does that impact his particular situation, as you documented in this film?
Well, I don't want to give too much away about the film. You have to see it to find out kind of where he is right now. Excuse me. But growing up in rural North Carolina is definitely a frightening space to be, both as an undocumented immigrant and as a gay man, and he identifies as a gay man. So, you know, he came out as undocumented before he came out as being gay, and it was a very, this is a very kind of scary space to be in, with the KKK is active in that area, a strong Tea Party presence. Most of the community is white. So it's definitely a part of his identity that he kept very shrouded. And that is talked about in the film. Even though a lot of the overarching focus of the film is on immigration, because it's such a timely topic right now.
Tiffany, how long did you and Heather spend with Moises and with people in the community? And what surprised you in the course of documentary where he's at?
Well, I met him, like I said, in fall 2012, and we filmed for about four and a half years. And Heather is also the editor, and she and I have worked very tightly together as a collaborative team. So she came on about a couple years into the process, and I pretty much handed over about 250 hours of footage for her to work with, and she can talk about what that was like to receive that. But then she, you know, she's really become the storyteller and has woven the story together and our conversations and getting to know Moises as well over the years. He and I formed a very tight relationship and a very tight bond. I mentioned we had this great chemistry when we met. So for me, that was a huge part of what makes the film successful is the trust that we had with both Moises and his family. So I think that surprised me that I would come to get very close to this person and to his family, and there's just a lot of genuine love, you know, between all of us working on this project, that we just really wanted to create a platform for his voice, because we know that his story is like so many other young people. It's not unique. There's a lot of young people dealing with these same hurdles that really don't need to be there, like, you know, for them to be able to be successful in this country and to contribute in so many ways.
How does he contribute to life in North Carolina? What kind of job does he have? Does he have friends? How are they seeing the situation? Is there a Dreamers support group? Or Dreamers gay, lesbian, transgender support group in North Carolina that he'd be part of? What's the status of his role in the community?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, he's a normal American kid. You know, he liked Lady Gaga, and, you know, he has friends, and he has a community. There's certainly, he became involved with a group called El Cambio, which was organizing in that area specifically for undocumented and queer issues. But, you know, on the surface, he grew up in North Carolina. He considers himself an American. This is the country that he knows. I mean, he's a normal, you know, he's a young man now, but, you know, he has a normal life. Obviously, there are challenges and risks with living in a rural area, as I mentioned, but he's no different, you know, than anybody else his age in this country as far as, you know, having a normal life.
He's been in this country since he was 18 months old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Tiffany, what's the status of his family members in Mexico? Where are they? And did you have an opportunity to go down to where they are?
No, most of his family is here in this country. So, no, we did not travel to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. In the course of filming Moses, and documenting his situation, what's his outlook on life? What is his outlook on where he's at in society? Is he optimistic that he can stay in this country? Is he full of despair because of his own lot in life? What kind of mindset does he have right now? Or what kind of mindset did he showcase when you were filming him for the time you did?
Right. Right, and I can't speak for him, but just from observation, it certainly oscillates. You know, it certainly fluctuates between feeling very dire and stressful, and, you know, also just dealing with the regular stresses that come with life. I mean, because he is in school right now, he is in college, and so he's dealing with the normal challenges that come with being a college student, but he also is getting phone calls from his community, you know, people asking him for help for people in his community who are maybe at risk for deportation. So, you know, even while he's, you know, trying to lead a normal life as a college student, he's also an activist in his community. And so there's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. And I know there's a lot of fear with this looming deadline on September 5th of what will happen with DACA, because DACA changed his life. It's like so many other young people, allowed him a legal driver's license, a work permit, and all these opportunities that otherwise, you know, he was kind of at a static place. He couldn't move forward. You graduate from high school, and it's kind of the end of the road. It's incredibly depressing, and there's a lot of depression and suicide in the undocumented community, because you have all these kids with so much potential. They've been brought up in the educational system in this country, and they've been told they can be anything they want to be. And then the reality hits, and it's really traumatic.
Yeah.
Tiffany,
high school becomes the end of the line.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany, did you have an opportunity to go to local authorities, either state, city, government authorities, or federal authorities who are dealing with this issue to get their views on things or to get their senses to what's going on? I'm asking this because in – researching the issue a little bit, I understand that in Silicon Valley, for example, there, I believe, are 300 companies that have sent letters to the Trump administration or President Trump directly saying, keep DACA, don't eliminate it, don't suspend it, keep it. It's very important for these Dreamers, which I understand is in the neighborhood of about 800,000 across the country, with all sorts of situations to them. And also that it's very important because they are the future workers and maybe the future executives of this country. They create the jobs, they're paying taxes, therefore, why should they be deported out?
Right, right, absolutely. They're paying into a system that they might not never receive back. So on a local level, we did speak with actually one of Moises' employers where he worked as a car dealership, and with the Real ID Act, which was passed in 2007, which meant that you had to show proof of citizenship in order to get a driver's license. So that shifted their business really dramatically because they serviced a lot of Latinos and undocumented people in that community who were buying cars, but now they're not buying as many cars because they can't maintain a legal driver's license. And so there's a huge economic impact because of that law on their business and on other businesses in North Carolina. So we did address that on a local level.
Forbidden, Undocumented and Queer in Rural America premieres tonight, September 1st, 8 p.m. Pacific time on Logo. And we've got the two people responsible for this special. They are producer Heather Matthews and producer-director Tiffany Reinhardt. They're both joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise, our first episode of September 2017. Simon Applebaum with you from the other coast, New York, where it's 38 degrees at the top of this hour. You have a question or comment for our guest? Give us that ring, 646-652-2906. Coming up later this month on Tomorrow We Televise, among our guests, we will have a journalist I've wanted to have on this program for a long time. Former CNN anchor Soledad O'Brien will talk to her about two big projects, at least. One is her ongoing role as host of the syndicated Sunday morning series Matter of Fact, distributed TV stations through Hearst. We'll also have the executive producer of that series, Rita Alman. And we'll talk to her about her new Fox special with IC dealing with the deaths of Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls. So Soledad O'Brien will join us on the 9th of September, September 15th. That is 2 weeks from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I understand the American Civil Liberties Union is involved with this special. How are they?
They became involved through Logo TV. The producers at Logo reached out to them and had their chime in. This is my understanding because we haven't had a lot of direct contact with them. But the connection was made there. They viewed the film. They were very excited about it, and they wanted to support both Moises from a legal standpoint and also support the film and partner with Logo so that they can kind of cross-pollinate the information about the film and about these issues so that while you're watching the film, there'll be pop-ups and opportunities that will direct you to the ACLU website where you can find resources to contact congressional leaders and to get involved with these issues and certainly to raise your voice.
They also did a Facebook Live event last night.
Yes.
I was just about to raise that issue. In fact, you read my mind because yesterday you, both of you, and somebody from the ACLU and Moises and other people were on Facebook Live yesterday afternoon. What came out of that?
Moises was on it, and Jose Antonio Vargas. Heather and I were not on the panel. It happened in New York last night. I was not able to see it.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to see it. But we can't wait to.
Mm. Have you gotten any feedback from anybody who participated in that event?
We haven't yet. We haven't gotten an update yet. So there's been so much happening this week with the film and PR that we haven't gotten an update yet. We did just get we just circulated the Now This video that they created specifically for Moises' story, and that has gone live on the Now This Politics website, and it's doing very well. I've been reading the comments. There's kind of a mix of responses, both supportive and both kind of negative, derogatory rhetoric about immigration.
But as of last night, it had like 11 million likes.
That's an incredible audience.
Yeah.
as I mentioned at the top of our interview, the Trump administration now says it will make that decision about DACA by the end of this Labor Day weekend. It could come at any moment, latest tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday at the latest. No matter what happens, are there any plans, depending on what President Trump and his administration do, are there any plans to update the special?
To update the film?
Yes.
Not at this moment. I mean, we're hoping for a positive outcome. It looks like Paul Ryan is also urging the president to not get rid of DACA.
Do you know if Lobo has any plans to do it on their end? Do either of you know if Lobo plans to do anything on their end?
Well, the film will continue to air. That has been the intention all along. It's not just a one-time special.
Well, I will tell you what we will do because we're running out of time. We will obviously monitor this, and we will do an up segment on the decision and how it impacts this special on our next episode on Tuesday afternoon. So we'll make sure the audience knows, no matter what does happen. In the meantime, Forbidden, Undocumented, and Queer in Rural America premieres tonight, September 1st, Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Logo. Check your local listings for where the network is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, forbidden.logotv.com. That's forbidden.logotv.com. You can not only learn more about the making of the special, but also some ways that you can participate in terms of raising awareness and action on it, including getting involved with the American Civil Liberties Union and other organizations that are dealing with this issue of the Dreamers and DACA. And once again, we will, no matter what, update you, do an up segment on the Trump decision and how it impacts this special, because it will be repeated later on in September. Heather Matthews and Stephanie Reinhart, producer director of Forbidden, thank you both for joining us. Thank you for making this happen. Congrats to Logan for putting the special on, and all the very best to Moises and his family, as well as the other people involved in this whole Dreamer issue.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Take care. Have a great holiday weekend.
Thank you.
Great.
You too.
Thanks.
Let's hope for the best. Okay.
Kevin Matthews, Tiffany Reinhardt, joining us live from Los Angeles. Once again, Forbidden tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific on Logo. And once again, the website, forbidden.logotv.com. More tomorrow will be televised, including our classic trivia question of the week. And we'll meet the people behind the new YouTube series, Don't Shoot the Messenger. They'll join us live from New York. We'll be joined by Facebook Live that is covering this event. And we'll get to that after these fine people and fine notes from Audible.com. If you're in the mood for a fun historical novel, how about this? The Last Tutor by Philippa Gregory and narrated in audio form by Bianca Amato. And you can get that as your free trial book through Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio information and entertainment with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on, right now at Blog Talk Radio. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, and just like that, you get one free audiobook like The Last Tutor, or one of your choice, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. So whether you love to hear historical novels or nonfiction work or something from whatever category you like, do it through Audible.com and do it through audibletrial.com/televised. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program all about the tube. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Simon Appleband with you live from New York. And if you have a question or comment for our guests upcoming, all you got to do is give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Right now, it's time for the answer to this week's classic trivia question. And we have a winner for the first time in several weeks. We want to congratulate Ryan Lemon from Coral Springs, Florida. And he is going to get on his way right now. A wonderful National Geographic In the Womb DVD with bonus features. Here's the question we posed for you on our Monday episode. Name the 1970 ABC cartoon series with Jerry Lewis. Name the 1970 Jerry Lewis cartoon series on ABC. The answer, we wanted it exactly, and Ryan got it. Will the real Jerry Lewis please sit down? That's right. Will the real Jerry Lewis please sit down? And Lewis, by the way, was involved with some of the script writing of the series, which lasted from 1970 to 1971 on ABC. So once again, will the real Jerry Lewis please sit down? Was the answer to this week's Classic Trivia question. Ryan Ramsey got it from Cold Springs, Florida, and he is getting National Graphics In the Womb DVD with bonus features. Ryan gave us the answer early this morning. Thanks for playing. The gift is on its way to you. And we'll have another Classic Trivia question for you on our next show on Tuesday afternoon. And if you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your email and your full name address, as Ryan did. And by the way, we will have a prize next week, and that prize is The Sovereign Chronicles Book 1 by one of our guests from last Monday, Douglas Sloan, the former supervising producer, writer, and director of more than 200 episodes of Power Rangers over the decades. He was on our show. It was really wonderful. If you want to know more about Sovereign Chronicles, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. When we come back, live with us from New York and going live on Facebook Live, we will have the people behind the YouTube series you can find on smart TV sets and devices, Don't Shoot the Messenger. The creator, co-star, and executive producer Craig Fogle, plus executive producer Melina Shichu and interpreter Stephanie Pine will all join us from the Big Apple after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio in the universe, www.blogtalkradio.com, where the 25-minute list is around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Wealthy Woman Di Morning Show. Catch Di and the crew every weekday, 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can get the best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Marvy Televised for our first episode of September. Welcome to those of you that just joined us on Facebook Live, Don't Shoot the Messenger page. I'm Simon Applebaum, the producer and host of this very program, Rock About the World of the Tube. Glad to have you all with us. Thank you for kicking off your holiday weekend on Labor Day with us, 78 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you want to participate in our next episode or next segment, why don't you give us a call? It's 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. And for those of you catching us on Facebook Live, you can use Facebook timeline feature to get others to exactly what you are watching or listening right now. Just go use the Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Over the last year, we have been showcasing efforts by deaf and hearing impaired people to break into television, both in front and behind the camera. You may remember last fall we introduced you to Jay Bryant. She's a deaf filmmaker who was at the New York Television Festival and spoke out about the fact that there weren't people of color of her situation that were on television or producing television shows. We've been following her story ever since. And earlier this year, we showcased The Chances. It's put together by a deaf couple, and it had a screening of the pilot at the Sundance Film Festival back in January. Now that program is being named to a series that will run soon on Sundance Now. Well, we have another interesting project along that line coming your way. It's all about a sign interpreter who finds life in the big city really, really crazy. It's called Don't Shoot the Messenger. And if you have YouTube on your smart TV set or smart device, you can see it. Joining us live from New York, the creator, star, and executive producer of the series, Craig Fogle. Hi, Craig.
Hi, everybody. I'm here with Malini Chaitu as well.
And Malini is the executive producer of the series. She is deaf, so we're joined by her voice for today, Stephanie Pine, who is also, by the way, was in one of the episodes of this series. Hi, Stephanie. And Malini.
Hi. And this is Malini saying hi.
Craig, we'll start with you. How did you put this series together?
Well, Malini and I were taking some workshops at YouTube Space New York City, and we were learning about some of the tools that they offer for, you know, doing YouTube videos online. And while we were there, we came up with this idea of maybe telling the story of deaf New Yorkers through the lens of a hearing sign language interpreter. And we pitched it to some of the folks who were taking workshops with us. They loved it. And so Malini got on top of me and was like, you better start writing this now. And
I sure did. Cracked a whip.
And then, yeah. And so with Malini, I started writing it. And then Malini rounded up some really talented deaf writers here in New York City to, you know, flesh out our team. And the rest is history.
Malini, was it very difficult to get writers who are either deaf or hearing impaired who could do comedy?
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, the deaf writers actually happened to be friends of mine, and we had gone to the same school together as we were growing up. So I knew their strengths. I knew their passion for writing. And also, they all had passion for being involved with media. So I loved how they wrote. So it was easy to recruit them. And we have this great sense of humor in our team. And that stimulates the ideas that you've seen on our series.
Mm-hmm. And Melini, in terms of your fellow actors, crew, et cetera, how was it to round up, and how committed was everybody in terms of having a diverse crew, not just diversity in terms of people of color, but also diversity in terms of having both hearing and hard of hearing deaf people involved?
Okay. Oh, that's such a great question. Thank you for asking me that. I'm a professional actor. I've been involved in several films and TV shows, and I grew up in New York City, and we know that there's a diverse population here. But on TV, not many people were represented, and I've certainly met a lot of deaf and hard of hearing people who happen to be people of color, and we're all experiencing the same issues. So it occurred to us, why not have a story about people of color who also can be deaf, hard of hearing, and hearing, and, of course, white people as well, just to show the incredible diversity that is available for our stories. And that's how it all came about here in New York City. So when we posed this idea, we found a lot of deaf and hard of hearing professionals that were eager to be involved. And so casting has been a fantastic process. And also, hearing professional actors are incredibly eager to be involved with this project. And then we've met many crew members that are both hearing and deaf, and thought it would be great to create a bridge so that people who've not yet had the opportunity would learn on the job. So we've got people at a variety of levels who are all eager to be involved with this project.
Mm-hmm. Craig, how does the show reflect the real-life experiences, not just of you, but Melini, your writers, and what it's like to, you know, have this sort of clash of cultures or unique sort of combination of cultures show up all over New York City?
Well, it's interesting because to this date, a lot of the stories about deaf people and people who are hard of hearing in the mainstream media are typically written and directed and produced by hearing people. Deaf people don't get a lot of say in the stories that get told. So consequently, there are a lot of stories about how sad it is for this deaf person that they'll never hear their mother's voice, or how sad it is for this deaf person that they'll never be able to become a doctor, or all these very melodramatic stories that don't really resonate for people who are deaf. And so having the diverse group of deaf talent that we had when we were putting this together, we were better positioned to tell these stories more authentically. So it really, the stories that we tell reflect the stories that happen to people who are deaf, people who are hard of hearing, people in the American Sign Language using community experience on a daily basis, especially in a great big diverse city like New York.
We're talking about Don't Shoot the Messenger. It may be the first television series, scripted series, about a sign language interpreter and what that person goes through all over this Big Apple. We're speaking with Craig Fogel. He's the creator, star, and executive producer of the series, and Melini Chaitu, who's the executive producer through interpreter Stephanie Pine. And they're both joining us, all three are joining us live this half hour from New York on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Appleman with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and also on Facebook Live through the Don't Shoot the Messenger page. We'd like to have all of you aboard. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That number's going anywhere to catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. And coming up right after this interview, we'll give you the latest on how you can support the people dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. All sorts of ways to do it, including ways that they showcase all day today on your local Telemundo station in Espanol. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. As I said earlier, we always, as a tradition, not show up next Monday so that you can have a wonderful rest of your Labor Day holiday weekend. But we'll be back on Tuesday, and we're going to focus on the wide world of daytime court shows through two shows. One about to start its fifth year on the air, and one about to get its first season off the ground. They're both from MGM TV, and we're talking about Lauren Lake's Paternity Court and the new series Couples Court. We'll have David Armour, he's the creative executive producer of both series, and then an Air Radio exclusive, we'll be joined in the first half hour by Lauren Lake herself, and the second half hour by the newcomers of the court genre, the real-life couple of Dana and Keith Cutler. They will all be with us live next Tuesday, and they will take your phone calls. That's next Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Craig, what are some of the adventures that you as the interpreter find yourself in on this series?
A lot of interesting and exciting mishaps, misunderstandings, adventures. We tackle a lot of questions that people have about deaf people. I know Malini is going to say she's so sick of hearing it, but people ask things like, do deaf people have sex? So we talk about that. We show some of that. We have people who wonder, like, how does a deaf person have a professional, like, executive job? How would they ever be able to do that? So we have that. And there is a great scene in episode 3 where my character is interpreting for Malini's character, and her character, Kayla, is basically chewing out one of her subordinates at work. And so that gets to go through Jacob, and so you get a little glimpse into what it feels like for him to have somebody else use his voice to yell at somebody. Episode 5 takes a look into the world of video relay service, which, if people who are listening don't know what that is, deaf people and hearing people can talk on the phone. A lot of people used to use what was called a TTY through typing through an operator, but now deaf people can use a video phone, which is kind of like Skype or FaceTime. They connect to an interpreter, and the interpreter connects to a person who's hearing on a regular telephone, and they can talk back and forth. So obviously, this is great for deaf people who want to connect with their families, friends, call to make doctor's appointments, order Chinese food, whatever. But when Jacob works a late night shift at the VRS center, he gets himself tangled up in a very interesting phone call. That's episode 5. So we touch on a lot of really diverse, different places hearing sign language interpreters can get themselves caught up in.
Malini, was there a particular plot that you or your writers dreamed up with where you're sort of saying, yes, at last, about time, we're talking about this, we're showcasing this on the air?
Absolutely. Yes. And actually, there are several of them. And as I've seen some stories of that have been in other kinds of series that I just thought it could have gone somewhere, but they didn't, and it was a little disappointing. But what I'm excited about is not seeing the deaf person as a victim, because that's what I'm so tired of. When hearing people say, oh, you're deaf, I want to show that it's just a normal thing, that we have conversations. And having the opportunity to create this show via YouTube platform has just been fantastic for us, because I think that the whole audience has the opportunity to learn the message that we don't have to pity deaf people, because so many assume that the minute a deaf child is born, the world goes into mourning. And that's not is, that sign language is a fantastic language, and it allows you to be independent just as any other language allows a person to be independent. And my goal has been to capture all those experiences, and I think they're reflected in the show.
Mm-hmm. Melanie, what do you think of the scene right now with television? We have this incredible expansion of scripted television. I call it the era of plentiful TV. We're also in an era of certainly more diverse television, where we're seeing everything from all sorts of efforts to get more women, women of color, people dealing with disability, or in your case, either being deaf or being hard of hearing, into the medium as writers, as producers, as entrepreneurs. Where do you think we are at right now in that journey?
Well, What I would say is that what we're seeing in these extended kinds of media situations should be expanded into regular television so that we can see them as much as possible, get them into the network so that you can actually see not the same sort of characters that we've already seen, but we can have women, people of color, LGBT, everything that's a part of our daily life here in the Big Apple should be reflected in mainstream television and network TV. And I think that we're not there yet. We need to break the taboos that we've had. And I would agree with what Craig said, is that we haven't reached that point yet, but we're getting there. We're working on it. And I think there's still a long way to climb on this mountain to get to the summit of equality.
We've had breakthroughs, Craig, along the way, though. Switch to Birth, which ran 5 years on First ABC Family, now Freeform. I mentioned The Chances, which is going to go on the air this fall or early next year on Sundance Now, which is the streaming service of Sundance TV, thanks to the pilot screening at the Sundance Film Festival earlier this year. Is there any way that the deaf and hard of hearing production community can band together and maybe try to find ways to increase their size or to increase their influence? Because we're seeing, for example, women of color, for example, like Viola Davis, who's doing the special with her husband that will be running the Smart Schools Live special coming up on the broadcast networks a week from today. You have Gina Rodriguez. You have Kerry Washington from Scandal, Regina King from American Crime, all America Ferrara, Superstore, all launching their own production companies. And there's like things like the Alice Institute, the Mayor of New York Writers Room, Women Films, the Blacklist Project, all efforts to try to bring more people into the medium. And I'm wondering if there's a deaf advocacy organization that can maybe take that on alongside the production community.
I don't think there's anything quite like that yet.
And Melini's saying that we are a relatively small community, and we don't have as many filmmakers as there are in other community groups. But I'm also been a member of the New York Women's
Film and Television.
So independent film project, and I'm also a member of SAG-AFTRA, and the people with
performers with disabilities committee, right?
Yeah, so that we've got a long way to go, but I know as a performer I've been involved with those other organizations, but we haven't set up our own.
Yeah, I think it's great that we are starting to make baby steps. I think Switch It at Birth was a great step in the right direction. It gave a lot of opportunities to actors and creatives who are deaf and hard of hearing. It wasn't produced and written and directed by deaf people. So I think that, like, The Chances is another step in the right direction because they have people who are deaf and hard of hearing writing the show, starring in the show. So, like, where do we go next? Okay, well, we've got deaf directors, deaf designers, deaf crew, deaf writers, deaf producers. I think it's a gradual process. But like Melini said, the more we can get buy-in from our allies out in the mainstream hearing world, the easier it will be to take this even further.
We're speaking with the people behind. Go ahead.
No, we're done.
Okay. We're speaking with the people behind Don't Shoot the Messenger. It's the new series on YouTube you can get on smart TV sets and smart devices. We've got the creator, the star, and executive producer Craig Fogel, executive producer Malini Chitor, and interpreter Stephanie Finney, all joining us live from New York here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tommy Applebaum with you live, simulcasting this particular segment not just on Blog Talk Radio, but on Facebook Live through the Don't Shoot the Messenger's own webpage. If you have a question or comment for our guests, you still got a chance to get in, 646-652-2900. And for those of you checking us out on Facebook Live, you've never heard of our program before, we are on every Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio, and we invite you to tune us in live as well as on replay. You can check out our recent episodes, including our 10th anniversary episode from last month. We're now in our second decade. You can do that at blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check us out in podcast form on iTunes.com. And if you have Apple TV, go to the iTunes Podcast app. That's the iTunes Podcast app. Our show all the blogs of radio shows, all available 24/7 for you at iTunes.com and the iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Craig, where do you stand in terms of getting a second season off the ground?
We are in the process of writing one right now. We've gotten together our group of writers so far. I've spent a lot of time poring over some ideas, and we've been brainstorming a lot. And we've planted a lot of great seeds in season one, so we have a lot of cool directions that we can go. At this point, we're not quite ready to get into production mode yet. We're still writing and trying to spread the word about season one. We would love to up our subscriber base on YouTube. So if anybody's listening at home right now, please do visit our YouTube page. Our channel is youtube.com/the messenger, ASL, like American Sign Language. And click subscribe to our channel. You'll get to see everything that we've made so far, and you'll be the first to know about what's upcoming.
Mm-hmm. And Eleni, given the fact that we are on Facebook Live, as you know, Facebook now has a video tab called Watch, where they're trying to make it sort of their Netflix-type service, some of which Facebook is funding, some of which they're trying to grab from all sorts of sources. Have you and Craig talked to Facebook about getting on Watch, trying to expand your reach?
Well, my goodness. We hadn't known about it until you just mentioned it. That's a fantastic idea. Thank you for that suggestion.
Yeah, if anybody out in Facebook land is listening in or watching us on Facebook Live, feel free to reach out. We'd love to talk to you.
And if you go second season, what kind of topics do you want to focus on?
Well, we've talked about, I mean, the story is ultimately about these people and not necessarily an instrument or a vehicle for teaching things. So we want to see what happens to Jacob and his family, his friends, his relationships with the various women in his life. But if we can subliminally continue to educate people about issues that are important to the deaf community, I think in the writer's room we've talked about maybe including more of the international deaf community, because a lot of people think, oh, well, isn't sign language the same all over the world? It's not. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of opportunities for more fun misunderstandings and mishaps when we start including the international community. We've talked about including other generations of deaf people, older deaf people, younger deaf people, because their perspectives are unique and very different than the stories that we've told so far. And, you know, like every day working as an interpreter, I can say, and I'm sure Melini and our other deaf writers can agree, that every day is fodder for new material. Every time you have an interaction with a cab driver, a bodega cashier, a teacher, a doctor, wherever you go, this stuff practically writes itself.
Incidentally, Craig, what does the sign interpreter community have to say about how you sign, how you interpret, how you go about your business? What do they think about this program?
A lot of interpreters really like it. I mean, people keep coming up to me and saying, like, oh, my God, yes, that's happened to me. And, you know, like, obviously, interpreters adhere to a very strict code of professional conduct. So confidentiality is extremely important to protecting the interactions of the people that we interpret for. But if we're able to tell these stories, not directly lifted from real life, but if names, places, times, all of those things can be changed to protect the innocent, then we can have a lot of fun stories that people experience all the time.
Dum da dum dum. Pregnant theme. Melanie, what does YouTube have to say? Are they close to committing to a second season? And is there sort of a plan B, like crowdfunding or crowdsourcing to try to raise money for that second season to happen?
Well, what we would love is to work collaboratively with YouTube. And if our subscription numbers increase, I'm certain that they will allow us to have more options.
Uh, Understand. The program is Don't Shoot the Messenger. And if you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device like Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire TV, NVIDIA Shield, Apple TV, Roku, etc., and it has YouTube, you can see it anytime you like because that's where it is on. And if you want more details about the program and how you can support it, here's where you go online. It's www.themessenger.asl. It stands for American Sign Language. .com. That's www.themessengerasl.com. And of course, you can go to youtube.com and just plug in Don't Shoot the Messenger. Once again, if you have YouTube on your smart TV set or a smart device, it's there for you 24/7. Craig Fogle, star, executive producer, creator of the show, Marlene Churcher, executive producer, and Stephanie, our interpreter, who, by the way, if you can see an episode of the show, thank you all for being with us. Congrats on what you've accomplished so far, and hopefully onward, upward, and greater from here. And again, from us to all of you, have a fantastic Liberty Weekend.
Thank you so much for having us. Binge watch our show over Labor Day.
Thanks so much.
Good time to do it. And by the way, thank you to all the Facebook Live people who joined us for the interview. We really appreciate having them simulcast the show with us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care. Craig Fogle, Melanie Chytor, and Stephanie Pine all joining us live from New York. And again, it's Don't Shoot the Messenger, available on YouTube through smart TV sets and smart devices. One more time, you can go to YouTube.com, go to your smart TV set or smart TV device and plug in YouTube, or go for more details to www.themessengerasl, that stands for American Sign Language, .com. This is Tomorrow We Televised. We are the program all about the world of television. We're now in our second decade on the air. We launched that decade last month. Happy that we had a lot of people tuning us in on replay, over 5,000 last month alone. And if you are just joining us for the very first time, you did so through Facebook Live or through Blog Talk Radio, we appreciate you coming aboard. Make us a regular habit. We're on Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on this very, very place. And remember, you can check out any episode you like of this Labor Day holiday weekend. Just go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we're also there in podcast form on iTunes.com and through Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. Ourselves, other blogs or radio shows available on Apple TV 24/7. Apple TV is available now in about 20 million homes around the country. And if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Coming up for a little bit of our next half hour, after the top of the hour, we'll have an up segment on the relief efforts for Hurricane Harvey. I'll have a comment or two about the coverage of Harvey, and I will suggest how you can be involved. But before we get to that, near the top of the hour, let's pause for a few moments for web identification. You are connected to Internet Radio at its finest. www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Off the Cuff Radio. Check it out tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of YouTube is available 24/7. Where else? YouTube.com. Welcome back for more of Tomorrow Televised, our first episode on this first day of September 2017, first one of the month. Happy you're aboard. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Welcome to you just joining us at the top of the hour, 78 degrees here in New York. We expect to have a pretty nice night and a pretty good day tomorrow, though we may have some showers, the remnants of what is now Tropical Depression Harvey, that over the last year has dominated the headlines because of the havoc it put forward on the people of Texas and Louisiana. And before we wrap things up for the day, we want to do a quick up as an update where we deal with some of the relief efforts that have happened or have taken shape here to help the people have been impacted so much, the millions of people impacted throughout Texas and Louisiana by what has happened with Harvey. First of all, in case you didn't know, Disney ABC, their television stations, the Disney Channel and so forth, did their Disney Day of Giving yesterday. You can still get involved. Check out their website. Check out the local ABC station website. And you can make a $10 donation with a text message. All day today, Telemundo and its various programs are spotlighting efforts to have relief for Hurricane Harvey people, and all you got to do is check out the website of your local Telemundo station or watch Telemundo, Channel 47 here in New York, stations in Los Angeles, Chicago, all over the country. Some of them go on cable as well, and you can find out more about that. Also, you may have seen the ads for Walmart over the last day or two. Walmart is doing a very neat campaign where if you make a donation, Walmart will triple the donation. They'll give you $2 for every dollar that you support. You can go to walmart.com for the details. Don't forget that the ongoing efforts of the American Red Cross and the Salvation Army are happening. You can go to redcross.org, Salvation Army's website, et cetera, et cetera. Please, one thing we do want to let you know, with a situation like this, there is always the possibility of scam artists trying to divert the money that you are giving freely by choice to use for their own purposes. So before you make a contribution, please make sure the web outreach or the TV station outreach is legit. Get the info first. There are some wonderful websites that showcase charities and how much of their money goes to administration versus how much it goes to the people in need. So check it out. Check those sites out if you need to. They're very, very good reference points. Let's not have this be a situation where scam artists get their due. Let's have it be where all the money that we raise in various ways, whether Walmart, through Telemundo, ABC, other local stations in Louisiana and Texas around the country, whether it is charities, whether it's individual companies like Apple Computer and so forth who are making wonderful donations, let's make sure that the money goes to where it needs to go. Because let's face it, the people who are being displaced or impacted by this incredible weather phenomenon that lasted close to a week, they're going to need a lot of effort. They're going to need a lot of rebuilding. They're going to need a lot of support and love and thoughts and dollars to get it. By the way, I have to say, and I'm usually not political about this, the effort among national, state, and local authorities has been absolutely magnificent. This has not been a repeat of Katrina 12 years ago. Everybody seems to be working in harmonious as much as possible. Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, has been just tremendous. He's kept everybody informed in all sorts of ways. I've been very impressed with his interviews on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News Channel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's really been great. Two other comments I want to make about the Hurricane Harvey situation. First of all, a lot of the reporting by various correspondents, whether it's been Kerry Sanders, who yesterday had a deal with the Beaumont, Texas situation, of that hospital, who because of the lack of fresh water, had to evacuate all their patients, over 200 patients, through helicopters. His reporting was marvelous yesterday. Whether it's been Steve Harrigan on the Fox News Channel, whether it's been other report, Noah O'Donnell on CBS this morning, generally speaking, the reporting of what's been going on all week long has been on a very high level and very sensitive. We have not seen, thank God, a lot of instances of people sticking mics and cameras into people's faces who are dealing with the big upset of their lives. And I really think that the refraining of that has been tremendous. Second of all, the effort by the people of Texas and Louisiana themselves has been outstanding and inspiring. As one person said today, it has really taught the nation a lesson of no matter where you're from, you get the opportunity to make a difference for people or the difference for people. And whether it's coming out with boats or coming out with other ways to reach people, get them out of their homes, get them to higher ground, to safe ground, to shelters, the effort by the George Brown Convention Center in Houston and so forth, it's been magnificent to see, and it continues right up to this very moment. And also, kudos as well to all the TV stations in the areas, Corpus Christi, San Antonio, Houston, Lake Charles, Louisiana, New Orleans, for above and beyond coverage in dealing with the situation. I know that for some of the national networks, the focus has been, for the most part, on Houston, although lately in the last 48 hours, it's been Beaumont, Port Arthur, Texas. But it's great to see that there was an effort to try to reach folks in San Antonio and Corpus Christi and Lake Charles and New Orleans and make sure that everybody was in the loop. And finally, those who know me know I do not comment on politics or on the Trump administration or the Obama administration and so forth in doing this program. This is a show all about television. But because of what happened earlier this week, I had to say something, and it's this. I want to be very, very straight about this. No matter where you stand on the current administration, for reporters and journalists, when the people of this administration, whether the president or vice president or the first lady, come down to the flood area, to the danger zone, and show their support for reporters and journalists to focus not on the victims, not on the people who are needing help, not on the people, not on the message of what is being delivered to these people by the president, the vice president, who was in the zone yesterday, or the first lady, and I might have President Trump and Melania Trump will be back, I understand, either tomorrow or Sunday. But to focus on what they were wearing, to focus on what they look like, not on the message, not on, hey, here's who comes first, the people impacted in Texas and Louisiana by this, I thought was way out of bounds. I'm sorry. Whoever decided that's what we have to focus on, that's what we have to comment on, I thought we're way out of bounds because they forgot the story. The story is we have people who at this very moment have had the shock of their lives. It is going to take a long time in some cases for them to rebuild their lives. They're dealing with massive displacement. And it was great to see that the president, the first lady, and the vice president do care. They do showcase sensitivity, and they're trying to bring hope, and they're trying to be encouragement by going down there themselves and seeing what's happening. And what we don't need is pundits and journalists who take it upon themselves to put the focus on what they wear, how they spoke, when they spoke, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's not what it's all about, folks. It is about dealing with the people impacted by the situation. And to everyone's credit in the television side of things, that's where the focus was. And it was done for the most part in a very sensitive and a very, I think, gracious manner. And kudos to everybody on the local, the national, the state level for doing that. Keep it up, folks, because the people that you are serving, the people you are showcasing, the situation you're showcasing, that's what they're going to need. They're going to need all the support and thoughts and prayers possible. And thank you for showcasing that side of the matter to all of us, no matter where we are. And as I said, one more time, I think we showed the world something with these last 7 days, that we can rise to the occasion and we can come together no matter where we're from, no matter what background we are, and we can help our fellow women and men in their time of need. And I'll leave it at that. We hope all of you have a fantastic Labor Day holiday weekend. Please make the most of it. And again, please keep your thoughts and prayers for the people in Texas and Louisiana impacted by now the remnants and the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. And again, whatever donations you can make, please do. And make sure you check to make sure the donations are going where they ought to be going. We're going to be back with you on Tuesday, where we focus on the world of daytime court shows with David Armour, the executive producer and creator of Lauren Lake's Paternity Court and the new series Couples Court, both happening this month with new seasons, in the case of Couples, their first season, syndicated to TV stations through Orion TV and MGM. And also joining us live will be the people in front of the bench, Lauren Lake from Paternity Court and Dana and Keith Cutler from Couples Court. They're all with us live, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, Tuesday, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And we, of course, will have our next episode on Friday, 1 week from today. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast, including our 10th anniversary edition from a month ago. You can check that out at iTunes.com, or if you have Apple TV, the iTunes podcast app. Remember, you can get involved in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. How? Listen for the question on Tuesday, then email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from. First with the correct answer, you will win The Siren Chronicles, Book 1, by our guest, Douglas Sloan. And again, if you missed our interview on Monday with Douglas, he was absolutely marvelous, go to blogtalkradio.com/televised or go to our podcast site. And remember, we really love hearing from you. Use that email to let us know what you think about our program, what you think about our guests, your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going. And if there's a particular TV program you think doesn't get enough attention, and it ought to, let me know. We will give it the attention in our regular feature, A Show to Know. All you got to do is put down the name of the show, give us information about it, and if we use your suggestion, of course, we will give you the credit. So SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's the basic way to communicate with me, and I do return emails within 24 hours. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWET. That's UBCSimonTWET. By the way, on Wednesday morning, I will post our questions, in case you missed them, our connectivity question on both Facebook and on my Twitter handle. So make sure that one way or the other, you get involved. Guess, goodness knows, you might win that prize next week, The Siren Chronicles, Book 1 by Douglas Sloan. Remember, we really appreciate hearing from you, no matter what you want to talk about, our guests on today's program, the subjects they raise, TV, where it's at and where it's going, no matter what, we do pay attention. Why? Because what you say matters, and that's the way it is. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Once again, thank you to Facebook Live for joining in midway through today's episode. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening, and for those of you catching us on Facebook Live, you're watching. Have a fantastic and a very safe and sound Labor Day weekend. Be great with your loved ones, and then come back here and tune us in on Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, with our daytime court hour. You know where, Blog Talk Radio. Again, please be safe and be great out there. Please keep the thoughts and the prayers coming for everyone dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.